States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we're going to be focusing on youth, and we'll be hearing from Nicholas Hansen, who won 3 gold medals and was the recipient of the Fiona Ban Award at the 2016 Adequan FEI North America Junior and Young Rider Championships presented by Gotham North. We'll also be joined by 3 young adults who attended the new USDF Sport Horse Youth Seminars to hear about their experiences and why they would encourage others to take part in this new opportunity to learn about sport horse breeding and showing young horses. As always, we'd like to remind you that the views of the hosts and guests of this podcast do not necessarily reflect the views of the USDF or its members. But we begin with Olympic news from Rio as the freestyle concluded this week. And our top-placed U.S. rider was Laura Graves and Vedardis. They finished fourth, just outside the medals, on 85.19. In 12th place, Stefan Peters with Legolas on 79.39. And in 15th place, Alison Brock making her Olympic debut with Roosevelt on 76.16. The competition began last week when the team medals were decided from the Grand Prix and Grand Prix Special, and USA came away with the bronze medal behind Germany and Great Britain from Six Nations. And we're planning on talking to the chef d'équipe, Robert Dover, and maybe one of the riders after they come back from Rio for the next episode of the USDF official podcast. And a reminder that the Paralympic Games gets underway from September the 7th through the 18th in Rio, and we'll be bringing you an update on that competition right here on the USDF official podcast. And now to our first guest this week, Nicholas Hansen, who joins us to talk about his gold medal winning performances at the Adequan FEI North America Junior and Young Rider Championships presented by Gotham North. Hi, Nick. Welcome to the program. Are you still celebrating?
I am, over the moon, honestly. I mean, it's been 3.5 long, hard years of work, and to have it pay off in this way is just absolutely amazing. And the last week has been spent very much so celebrating and just having fun and enjoying the fact that we're triple gold medalists.
Triple gold medalist is something not many riders can say. Let's tell your story. Talking, first of all, I think we should, about the competition itself. When you got to Colorado for the Young Rider Championships, going back to Colorado for some people, but possibly the first time you've ever ridden there at Young Riders, is it? Or were you in juniors there?
Yes, my first time actually being in Colorado riding was this past week at Young Riders. It's actually funny. I've been to Colorado many times, but I usually go there, you know, when it's winter and it's all snowy to go skiing. So it was interesting to come when it was more of a desert situation. Colorado was fantastic. It was a great venue. The people that put the venue together were fantastic and really made it into a top-notch facility to hold a championship such as Young Riders.
Well, let's tell your story first of all. You represented Region 1. And you probably got some personal best scores in there throughout that week, did you?
I did. Those were the 3 highest scores that I've ever gotten in any FEI competition anywhere. The Region 1 team I was on this year consisted of myself, Mallory Chambers, Leanne Wolf, and Elizabeth Portuzo, all from the Pennsylvania, Virginia, New Jersey area.
And you're from Catawissa, Pennsylvania.
From Catawissa.
So, right. Well, tell us.
A little town in the middle of nowhere.
But you don't train with a local trainer, do you? You are training with someone north of the border. We're going to talk about how that's working for you, because clearly it's a ticket to success. But let's first of all go through the competition itself. And going into that, Nick, did you have the horse that you expected in preparation for the championships?
I would say yes. What we have done with Ritter, especially leading up to Young Riders, is really make sure that he is and was prepared for the competition that he was facing. It was not just something that we said, okay, we're, you know, a couple weeks away, let's get him ready to go. It was something that from, let's say, January 1st, 2016, we've been working towards, you know, making sure that he's strong enough, making sure that he's fit enough, making sure that he is correct enough in his balance to be able to do what he needs to do in the dressage rings to be able to pull the scores that he did.
How long have you been a partnership?
I've actually had Ritter about 3.5 years now, and it's a really interesting story, actually. He was donated to me through Lendon Gray's Dressage for Kids donation program. A very, very kind woman by the name of Ann Sanders was the one who actually had owned Ritter before I did and decided to donate him to the program. And so the way I actually got in touch with Ritter was fall of 2012, actually. My eventing horse at the time had just come off of an event and unfortunately pulled a suspensory, so he was out for a while. And I had known Lendon for a long time, I think since about 2005 or 6. And she actually called me one day and said, you know, I know you're without a horse at the moment. Would you be interested in trying a horse that a friend of mine has in Albany, New York? And I said, absolutely. So my dad and I got in the truck and we drove about 6 hours to go visit Ritter and met with Ann, incredibly nice person. And I was able to get on Ritter, ride him around. And, you know, it's just one of those things that, within 5 or so minutes, you know that this is something special, like you're sitting on something special. So we made all the necessary arrangements to actually bring him to our property. And within a week, he was at our house and then started the long process of getting him, you know, into the horse that he is today.
What was it about the partnership with him then, Nick, that made you realize you've got a horse that you could click with to the extent that you could go on to championship level?
I would say it's more of a friendship as well as a partnership. You know, it's like you can communicate with him. Like, I know what he's thinking. I know what he's feeling. And, you know, it was something that I felt from really, really early, you know, early on in the riding. You know, even after the first time I rode him at Ann's farm, you know, I felt like I could, you know, understand him. I felt like I knew what he was thinking and that, you know, we could have a discussion, you know, as far as being able to learn each other.
But you had said after the competition that it wasn't something that you expected to happen, to him to go so consistently well, to try his heart out. So talk about that preparation, that last-minute warm-up going into the first test there, which produced the first gold medal.
So I have been training this whole summer at Jackie Brooks's farm in Canada. And one thing that we had really been focusing on was trying to make sure that Ritter's balance point did not get too far behind. And I can elaborate on that by saying, so I'm not a small person, so I need to make sure that in my riding, I don't put my weight in a place that it does not need to be. Because unlike, you know, a lighter built, let's say, you know, 120-pound person riding him, you know, my weight very much affects whatever he is doing. So what we had really worked on was making sure that I, especially in like the pirouette work and some of the collected trot work, really almost sat slightly, not necessarily forward, but, you know, enough off of his hind end that my weight sitting down on him would not hinder his forward motion. It wouldn't actually like cause his hind end to buckle underneath. By being able to change my balance position and teach him to then carry me in that new balance position, we were then able to still have all the impulsion and the forward energy as well as the collection within the test. And the previous couple of years, that has really been what's been lacking. You know, we were able to have times where the collection was amazing, but there wasn't a lot of forward energy. But at the same time, you know, when I asked him to go super forward, we would have a difficult time bringing back to, you know, a collected gait. So I would say what really changed this show compared to all the other shows was being able to keep my body in that happy place, in that perfect spot where I could not only ask for a collection, I could ask for extension, I could ask for balance, all within really one spot. And I would say that is what has given us the ability to, you know, showed the judges our true potential, which we were then able to do at Young Riders.
Now, what about the atmosphere for the competition itself? Did he handle that well as he normally does, or better? What was the atmosphere like when you rode any of those tests?
So he has shown at Devon. He has shown at Global in Wellington. So he's certainly accustomed to some of the, you know, bigger, higher-end shows. Really, he came into the show just like normal Ritter, you know, happy. You know, he goes out on his first trail ride when he's at the venue, and, you know, he might have a little look at something here and there, but really, you know, is not worried. You know, the other thing we also had to consider, as did everybody else, was the, you know, the altitude change. Where we are in Pennsylvania, we're at, you know, maybe 500 feet in elevation, whereas in Parker, it's about 6,500 feet. So we actually ended up getting there 4 days early so that he could acclimate, so that when he went to the show, he was already ready to compete in that new atmosphere. He wasn't getting used to the atmosphere as he was actually competing. So that was certainly very helpful.
Well, if those who are watching didn't know before, they certainly know now that you're a Star Wars fan, because that was your music for the freestyle, wasn't it?
It was. Love Star Wars.
Did you choreograph that yourself, and did you select the music and put all the pieces together then, Nick? Was that something you did single-handed, or did you have some help?
The choreography was done by myself and Jackie. But actually, I sat down and I put the music together myself, and I chose the various scores that are within the freestyle. And, you know, to all, I guess, the real Star Wars fans out there, you might be able to notice, you know, the slight differences within, let's say, the beginning music and the end music. So the beginning music is actually the original score from movie number 3. Original John Williams piece, whereas the final extended down the center line is actually the brand new Star Wars score from the 7th movie. So it was fun to be able to put it together and, you know, be able to add little bits and pieces here and there that maybe I only recognize or, you know, I can have fun with. And that's totally cool. I really enjoy being a part of the music making process. I enjoy music very much myself, so it was a lot of fun for me to be able to make my own piece of music, and I think also by making it, you then know everything that's in it, so you can even better be able to put the horse where you need to in the ring to make sure that it's perfectly on point with the music.
Well, any rider will know that it's very hard not to just do one test and be absolutely spot on with what the performance that you were hoping for, but to do it twice and then three times, because the horse is going to get tired throughout that week. What horse did you have under you going into the freestyle then that gave you that little bit extra? He clearly wasn't getting tired.
That's true. I would say, you know, consistency is number one. You know, making sure that between the individual and the team test, for example, there was a day in between. That day was used just to stretch, just to make sure that all the muscles are moving nicely, you know, to make sure that we have all the buttons if we need them. But we never drilled on that. We never drilled on that day. You know, we just let him just exercise himself and kind of do a little bit what he wanted to do. If he felt like something was a little bit stiff or a little bit sore, we let him do what he had to do to loosen it. We didn't try to, again, like I said, drill on certain things that we felt we needed to make better. But as far as making sure that I had the horse I needed to have going into the freestyle, you know, it was just a lot of making sure that we don't overdo it, you know, as far as riding wise, making sure that our, warm-ups are just long enough to make sure that all the muscles are warm and soft and stretchy, but also being able to, you know, put in all the movements and be able to get the power that we need just as we go into the ring. So I would say making sure that we don't overdo or didn't overdo the amount of riding, and also making sure that within the rides itself we weren't pushing things too much really helped us stay consistently on the mark all the way through every ride.
And obviously, when you'd ridden that final test, did you feel that you'd got the extra points that you needed to make it a triple gold medal winning weekend, Nick? Or how did that last ride compare with the horse that you rode earlier in the week?
I will say definitely the horse in the freestyle was a little bit more tired than he was in the individual. For example, the individual was our high score. Going in, like, you could feel in the warm-up for the freestyle, he wasn't as stretchy as he was for the very first test. He wasn't as willing, just because, you know, he was tired. You know, he worked his heart out already for 2 days. And I think what gave us those, you know, those couple extra points to get where we needed to be to get the gold position in the freestyle was him, you know, just working his heart out and knowing that, you know, okay, we've already done two. This is the third and it is the final. So I need to really get it done. And also, I think the freestyle, you know, it adds a little bit almost to your riding. Like, you can now ride to music and you can let the music pump you up a little bit. And for Ritter also, you can feel when he goes into the ring and he hears the music, you know, you can tell that he's listening to the music. And he's like, okay, there's something that I can now get a little bit more energetic about too. So, you know, even though he was a little bit more tired than he was the previous day in the individual test, you could tell that he was, you know, going to push just that much harder because he was, you know, ready to go for the freestyle because of the music.
Wonderful. Well, clearly, as I said earlier, you have a winning partnership there with Jackie Brooks as your trainer. So what have you decided is next for the horse?
So we're a little bit thinking that it might be time for Ritter to have a little junior rider. Actually, a very good friend of mine who is actually my groom for young riders, her name's Ava McCoubrey. We have been discussing that she might be able to take the ride over on Ritter for next year's season. And maybe Ritter can take her all the way to gold medal position, hopefully, for 2017. So that is a thought right now. Again, nothing is set in stone. You know, he certainly, I think, could make a little girl or a little boy very, very proud and very, very happy. So that's what we're thinking at the moment.
Now, potentially more medals to come from Ritter Benno, but for now, he must have made you a very happy man, Nick. So congratulations on winning that triple gold medal at the Young Riders, and enjoy the continued celebrations.
Yes, thank you so much. It's been amazing.
And now we're going to hear from three young USDF members, Erin Bell, Colin Gaffney, and Noel Williams, who attended both of the pilot programs for the new USDF Sport Horse Youth Programs. The first was the USDF Sport Horse Youth Breeder Handler Seminar, held at Dressage at Devon in 2015, followed by the USDF Sport Horse Youth Breeder Seminar, which took place at Hilltop Farms in July. And we begin with Erin Bell. Erin, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, it was obviously a very helpful experience for you to attend that seminar. There's so much that I'm sure you took away from it. So why don't you share your experiences with us? But first of all, we'll begin with why you felt that you'd like to attend that seminar in the first place.
Well, I always wanted to participate in a lot of the Young Rider programs, but I didn't have the opportunity to ride such nice horses to compete. And I'm also not interested in only competing, but also in the breeding and the management and the performance of horses is not just what's happening in the show arena. And this particular farm is well known for their management of their stallions and the foals they produce and how they bring them up the levels. So when the USDF was going to sponsor it there, thought it was a good opportunity to open up doors to more things.
Explain your situation there in San Antonio, what your current training and breeding involvement is there.
I bought a two-year-old and broker started her myself and wanted to do the young horse program, but was and then as I started getting into it, doing the in-hand classes at breed shows, I realized that there's a lot more I need to know, and there's professionals in which I need to learn from. And I also bred my retired schoolmaster to a stallion that I really liked because of what I've been exposed to, but I wanted to learn more about what should I know what to do, because as a dressage rider, we are the horse's advocate and their physical trainer. And it was interesting when I went last year to the sport horse program that they had at Dressage at Devon. They did the biomechanic session. And when you start learning about how a horse moves, it changes the way you think about how you're going to train them. And with, I have about 10 students at my house who are teenagers, adult amateurs, who have usually no background in understanding how horses move. And they just think if they sit pretty up there that the horse will do what they want. And it's so much more than that. And when we start learning about what we're riding, it makes our jobs easier once we know the how the horse is supposed to do their job.
Give us an idea of what you took away from each of those sessions within the 2 days, Erin.
We started off with a classroom session where they went over the form and function of the horse and the basic anatomy. And once we went from there, they were able to explain how we can see that outside on the skin side of a horse, not just where their bones are, but how their muscular and their ligaments take place. And then they gave us hands-on demonstration where then they brought in afternoon their stallions and their young horses and presented them to us, how they train them. And we went to, what was really cool was we learned about the different ratios of angles and how different conformations produced rideability characteristics because of their physical traits. And then we went out there and saw how these angles and these the structure, how the conformation affects movement. And so we got to see the movement of the horses in person, and had the employees of Hilltop were so kind and generous, help us like with demonstrations, break down our questions. Like we're like, well, if the neck is too long, how does that affect how it can use its shoulder? Or if its lower back is, if its loin is too short, it's unable to do this or that. And we were able to see how those things affected movement with the judge, the instructor who taught it, is very well educated and with the help of Hilltop instruction.
Absolutely. And of course, the handling techniques as well, that was an important part of it.
Yes. So they demonstrated on how they worked with the young horses, because it's not everyone has their own way of starting babies. And this is one of the only farms that has babies to 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, then stallions. And how they get them ready from the start, how they handle, they lead horses in hand from the first day, and how you can see the horse's conformation at birth and how it never really changes till when they're adults. And how do we see the bones underneath the skin? That is what we're breeding for, as well as the temperament stuff.
What were the highlights for you? What do you feel that you most benefited from of the 2 days?
Being able to have an educated eye, that our judge instructor was able to show us where we were like, well, this horse steps wide. Why does it step wide in its hind legs? She was able to then take a measuring tape, a measuring stick, and show us how, because it's built, quote, out behind or something, then that's why it would do that. Or if it's stifled or pointed in, it couldn't get around its barrel. Or like a lot of the questions we have as dressage trainers that we're trying to train the horse to use its body differently, we're able to see, we were able to visually see, based off of what we learned in the in the classroom session, how that affects under saddle, and have an educated person explain it to us instead of us guessing, well, we think it's this. Well, we had someone with knowledge and credentials to explain it. And then we were able to go see how they bred the mares and collected the stallions, which if you know, I haven't had the opportunity to see a stallion collected, and how they manage it is amazing. And I had no clue all the work that's involved in that. And that was a big highlight. And I think any youth who is interested in stallions or breeding needs to see how much work it is. And they show us that.
So you felt that the classroom sessions were really complemented by the practical instruction as well throughout. Anything particular that you felt was a good fit there that you took away, you know, joining those dots up, Erin, apart from what you've just mentioned? Is there anything else? And I'd also like to get your impressions overall, if you would, of the 2 days.
So detailed-wise, my favorite thing was how they showed us the harmony lines of a horse's conformation, like the ratio or the balance, the general impression. Like when you look at a horse, you can give a general impression because of certain the length of the back compared to the length of the shoulder compared to the angles of the hip. And then when you go to a horse in person, you're like, well, it looks balanced, it looks harmonious, but then you go measure it, you can go, oh, this horse is more suitable for jumping or dressage because of its hip angle or because of the length of its back. And that's what really opened my eyes. I was able to go home and play with the horses at my house, and I could really take that little bit of information I learned. If that's all I learned, which I learned way more, that directly impacted my life. And if I were to go horse shopping and breed a horse, I would know more about how it can use its hind end because of what we learned. And then in general, what I got away was about how much more there is to know. Because I was offered so much information, and we got to see such incredible horses, it does open up more doors to realize that there's so much more about horses we need to know to really unlock their pure athletic potential. And I think that's important to be able to, I don't know, see that there's more to learn.
And finally, then, Erin, what would you say to young people who may be listening to this and think, well, that might be something that I would like to take part in? What would be your recommendation from the experiences that you had of those 2 days?
You have nothing to lose. It's worth trying and coming to see. The faculty who puts this on is very much supporting the youth. You can't ask a dumb question, and the fellowship of the kids are so supportive, and you make new friends. And all over the country, we have people from Canada. It was so cool to see, and because this one had a lot of breeders in it, and young breeders or children of big name breeders. And that was really cool to hear first-hand experience with them. So you get to meet new people as well as the education and networking of people our own age. So that was really cool.
Well, thank you very much indeed for coming on the program and sharing your experiences of the 2-day Sport Horse Seminar for Youth. Erin, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Colin Gaffney joins me now. He's from Ohio, and he attended the seminar recently and is here to tell us about his experiences. Colin, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about your involvement in the sport and in sport horse breeding in particular, and where you're based.
I'm from Akron, Ohio, and I'm from more of an eventing background, but my mom is big into the dressage, and I do a little bit myself. For the breeding, I came into the seminar not really knowing much, but I really learned a lot of the seminar. I thought it was a great program for almost everyone.
Why did you decide that that was a seminar that would be helpful to you?
You know, I always wanted to learn about the development of young horses, like through the training. And the seminar really starts you off like with the basics and how to, like, right once they like are bred and are born, like, how you can help and get them through the levels of training and how to help them through the process. I am a member of Pony Club and have my B grading. So I was looking through and I knew a lot about the conformation part, and I did not know a ton about the actual breeding portion of it. I knew some stuff, but nothing as they went into in the seminar.
Well, talk about those seminar sessions then, Colin, and what you most enjoyed of each of those and what you feel you most took away from.
The first thing we kind of did was we went over, like, the conformation of the horse and stuff like that. and we got to know like what we were looking for in a horse and how each sport has a different conformation that you're looking for in the horse. So after we went over that and we talked basically about the breeding a little bit, we went out and we actually saw it done with how they use the artificial insemination, and it was actually really cool. We went out to the barn and we actually got to see how they did it and how they collected everything, and it was really a great experience. I mean,
has it influenced your career choices now from what you learned there? Has it changed your direction or guided you in some way that into opportunities that you hadn't thought of before?
I really hadn't thought of this side of the sport as much and how big of a business it really was. I knew about Hilltop, but I didn't realize how extensive their program was, about how extensive the breeding actually was in itself and how much of a major part of the sport it was. So it's really enlightened me to how much they... It really is important that we pay more attention to our breeders and have a really good understanding of how they help the sport develop.
Which of those areas would you say that you would be even interested in specializing now as a result of this seminar?
I could see specializing as a trainer at one of these barns if I ever got to that point in my career. But I don't know if I would ever be able to be one of the doctors. It's a great thing, but I don't know if I would actually be able to make it through all of the training required and everything. But I could definitely see helping with some of the handling and stuff like that at one of the barns. It would be a spectacular opportunity.
Talk a little bit about now, if you would, in summarizing what you took away from there in general and what you would say to anyone else who's thinking of going into that, young people that might be considering furthering their education in sport horse breeding.
It really focused like and really made me realize that it's more than just taking the horses out and competing them in the sport. There's more to than just training them. There's always someone behind the scenes who really helps develop how the horses are supposed to look and how they're supposed to move. And that's the breeders. They really go into making the horse that you buy and the horse that you really want to train. And they go through everything and how the breeders really focus and want a good quality horse so that they can help shape the sport and make their performance horses the best they can be.
Would you have any final thoughts for anyone who's thinking of taking part in one of these?
I mean, I would definitely, if you have the opportunity to take it. It's really an eye-opening experience, and it really goes in-depth in everything that's going on with the sport and with the breeding. And it really helps you understand what you want to look for in a horse and how they develop into the horse that you ride and you see in the Olympics that are going on right now and stuff like that.
Well, thank you very much indeed for coming on the program and sharing your experiences of the seminar, Colin, and appreciate taking the time and good luck with your career.
Thank you too. Thank you very much.
Noel Williams joins me now. She also attended the Sport Horse Youth Breeders Seminar. Welcome to the program, Noel.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk about your experiences there. But before we do, tell us a little bit about your own situation and what your involvement is in the sport and why you chose to attend this.
So I am a trainer and I am fairly young, starting out in 28. And one of the things that I like to focus on as a trainer is young horses. I love young horses. And I think it's important getting to know a lot of the breeders, knowing kind of where our horses are coming from, knowing their bloodlines, and knowing where our horses are coming from. I think it's also important to know what the breeders are looking for, what they're breeding, you know, and why they're picking certain stallions or mares, and how they are raising these horses that are eventually going to come to us. So I thought that this was the perfect opportunity for me to kind of become a little bit more well-rounded as a trainer. And the more I do things like this, the more I think that the sport horse stuff, the foals and the up through 2-year-olds is really fun and exciting. So the more I start to want to get more and more involved in that aspect of it.
So what were your expectations then? What did you hope to take away from this then?
I wasn't really sure, since it was a pilot program, I wasn't really sure what to expect. I knew that we would be going to a breeding farm and we would get to see kind of the daily life, how they run their operations, in the sense of how they handle the mares in the foals, how they handle the stallions. And when I say handle, I don't just mean how they physically handle the horses, but also how they handle the breeding aspects and how they develop the horses too. So I thought that this was a perfect opportunity to see everything, because there aren't that many farms like Hilltop that are so comprehensive. So I was really excited to be able to see all of that in one place.
Of course, you had the classroom sessions and then the practical sessions as well. Did you find that one went hand in hand in the other in a way that you were benefiting from continuous education throughout the 2 days?
Absolutely. The first day, Natalie spoke to us about Hilltop and how they run it and all of that. And then we had kind of the classroom session from Christy on confirmation and movement, which itself is its own class. And then after we did that, we saw, I went to the stallions the first day. And so we saw a stallion be collected and all of that. And then we saw some young horses that I think the first day we saw a foal and a 2-year-old maybe, and then like a 3 or 4-year-old. And so the nice thing was, is we were able to talk about some of the confirmation and the movement that we had talked when we saw those horses in person. We could see and talk about what we had talked about in the class earlier that day. And then the same thing with the next day. We did the classroom session, and then I went to the mare side and then went back into the arena, and we saw some of the horses under saddle. And I thought the second day was kind of the most fun in terms of what we saw in the arena, because it was more of the riding, which is personally what I'm interested in a little bit more. So watching the horses under saddle, we were able to like really talk about confirmation and how it affects their movement and how it's going to affect their development. And Christy was great because she also had us judge it a little bit, which is where I thought, oh, this could be another area of the sport that I might want to pursue a little more, was the judging aspect, because that was a lot of fun.
So that was new to you then, a new opportunity maybe, as you say, that you could explore further. Was there anything else as well as the judging that were really eye-opening opportunities for you?
I think for me, it really confirmed that I love working with the babies, but for anybody else coming, I think it would really be, you could see that, you know, if you wanted to go into the sport and in the sense into dressage, there are so many different avenues you can go. You know, there are employees at Hilltop who handle the babies, the foals, and who handle the, you know, the 2-year-olds, and their role is a little bit different than the FEI trainer's role. And they have the interns there with the mares and the mares and foals, and they have people there handling the stallions. And stallion services I've known about because I grew up with stallions at Temple Lipizzans. But that was a fascinating thing, the whole how stallion services work and what their business is, and how they, like the Hilltop stallions, they're breeding like 3 or 4 stallions a day for several months. And it's just, that was really interesting too.
What were the biggest takeaways for you that you feel you can turn around and apply to your own career now?
I think the judging, the introduction a little bit to sport horse judging was huge. And talking to Christy, there were some things about the sport horse judging that I didn't know. And, I am in the small R program, so I am on my way to becoming a dressage judge, but not a lot gets talked about, I think, on the dressage side about the sport horse, and there aren't enough sport horse judges out there, and I didn't really know how you could pursue the program and what you needed to pursue the program. I was like, oh, if I ride, I can do it. But it's quite a bit different than what I expected, and which was neat because it also means that, unlike you know, the small R program where you have to have certain scores at a certain level. You don't have to be a rider to do the sport horse. You have to be a breeder or a handler, which I did not know. So that to me was huge, because that's something I thought, okay, I want to pursue a little bit more. And a lot of just having, like I said in the beginning, kind of what I wanted to get out of it, having more of an understanding about where these horses that I have in training as 5, 6, even 10-year-olds, you know, where they come from, I think helps out so much. And that knowing kind of how they developed and how they even came to be, how they were born, I think is really important. And I really encourage other trainers to take more of an interest in where these horses are coming from.
And what about recommending this to other young people who might be thinking of attending a seminar? What would you say to them?
I would say absolutely do it. If you want to become a professional in the industry, if you are thinking, you know, if you're high school, college age, thinking I want to go into horses, but I don't know what I want to do, I would say attend it, because it shows you how many different avenues you can go down to pursue a career in horses. I think if you want to become a professional rider and trainer, you should absolutely do it. You need to have an understanding of your horses. And everyone at Hilltop did a phenomenal job. And we were really lucky to watch Michael Bragdell and work with the horses. And he is excellent. And I think her name's Jessica, I can't remember his assistant's name, who was starting the baby. She is excellent as well. So to be able to see that high quality of riding and training is wonderful for anyone who's considering going into it as a career. And I think anybody who's thinking about becoming a breeder or is already breeding and wants to really have a good program, I think you absolutely have to go into this, to this seminar. Or anybody who wants to handle, which we need handlers, so anybody who's thinking that they might really enjoy handling, I think they absolutely should do the seminar.
Noel, thank you very much indeed for coming on the program and sharing your experiences, and the best of luck with your career.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The 2016 USDF Sport Horse Youth Handler Judge Seminar is open to USDF members aged between 14 and 27, and you can find more information and the application form under the Youth tab on the USDF website, and we'll also put a link in the show notes accompanying this episode. And we'd also like to remind our members about some upcoming important deadlines for the USDF Youth Awards. August 31st is the deadline for both the Youth Volunteer of the Year Award and Youth Convention Scholarship Award. Any USDF member can nominate a USDF youth member for the YVOY. USDF participating youth members can apply for the scholarship. September the 1st is the deadline for applications for the USDF nomination for the USEF Youth Sportsman Award. USDF participating youth members, who are also USEF members, are eligible to apply for this award. You can find more information about these awards by contacting our Youth Liaison Officer at youth@usdf.org. Don't forget, you can find more educational information and resources by visiting eTrack at usdf.org. And as well as the website, you can keep up on our breaking news by following us on social media at USDF. That's it for this week's episode. Until next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.